Take a break. See, did you ever get a tune? It's tune.
No.
No, tune it right now.
No.
No, yeah.
No.
No. Oh, Steve. What are we doing this thing? Here's what we're going to do. I'll sing the first verse. It's got to tell you something. Steve and I used to play together a bit until about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
for about, three, 4 years? We played together at Loaves, and we played at nursing homes and lodges and wherever they'd have us, I guess, for a while. And then things changed, and we haven't sung together. You may be able to tell that. We haven't sung together for a while. So I phoned Steve up, and Steve, I'm going to do the special song, and and I need you to help me with it. So you sure that won't play?
Yes, it'll play, but not in tune.
Yeah, but tune it right now. How about tuning it? Who wants Steve to tune the mandolin? See that? I thought so. We're not going to bring Steve and Mindy in here at great expense, and then have them do everything they come with.
What expense?
Okay, see if it's in tune. If it's close, it's close.
It's not.
Okay, try a D. They found it already. Yeah. You got it. While he's doing that, anybody have any God sightings this week? A word of testimony, Don. Amen. Okay, Don, thank you. Pray for the peace. Pray for our government, that they will continue to stand by Israel. It's important. I would say that I'm going to do the first verse, you do the second verse, and then I'll join you like that. I understand that. Oh, Lloyd, go ahead. Six. All right, cool. Thank you, Lloyd. One more song. I hope this is a blessing to you. Not a new song. It's an old song. That's pretty much all we do. Written by Reverend Ackley in 1922. Here it is.
I walked one day along a country road, and there a stranger journeyed to, bent low beneath the burden of his load. It was a cross I knew.
I cried, Lord Jesus, and he spoke my name. I saw his hands all bruised and torn. I stooped to kiss away the marks of shame. The shame for me that he had borne. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I a lesser sacrifice when Jesus paid it all?
Cross, dear Lord, I cry, and lo, the cross for me appears, the one forgotten I had cast aside, the one so long that I had feared. I'll carry till that crown appears. The way I journey soon will end, where God himself will wipe away all tears. And friend, hold fellowship with friends. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus paid it all? How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus paid it all?
All right. Okay. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Is Rick here today? Rick is not here. Rick was going to... why don't you come up to the microphone then, Kim? Okay.
Okay, so Richard left me and the kids again. Twice in 1 week. And when I read his text on Friday night, he texted me and he said that he wasn't coming home, that was my home now. And I had asked him if he loved me the night before, and he had told me that he did. But he said, am I in love with you? No. And you're a strong woman of God, and God will get you through this. It's not your fault, it's my fault. I thought I could be there for the kids, but it's not fair to you. I'll call you in a week. I'm shutting my phone off now. You know, I asked God, what's going on? I believed, I hoped, I persevered, and this is the result. But I said, I will continue to trust. I will continue to obey. Rick and the world will let me down. The world and Rick will forsake me. But Jesus never will. You know, Jesus is my everything. And if I never marry again, that's okay. I'm okay with that. If Rick never comes again, I'm okay with that. Whatever his will is, that's what I want. That's what I seek. Because all that matters is that Jesus is my everything. And so Rick's not here to speak. But I come to you and I say, pray for him that he repents. Pray that he will not break the covenant that we had before God, the vows that we spoke. I know this is not God's will. I know that God's will is that no man put this marriage asunder. So I pray that Rick repents. Pray with me, but also just pray for my babies. My kids. And I'm so thankful to have a family like I do. I'm so blessed to have each and every one of you, because I know that you guys pray. This is a praying church. And I feel all your prayers. And I promise you, I will not give up. That I will not turn to the world. The enemy has already tempted me to turn to smoking again, to turn to drinking, to turn to the world. But I said, you're not going to have me, because Jesus has me. Jesus has me. And he will never forsake me, so I will not forsake him. He will never turn his back on me, so I will never turn my back on him. I don't care what the devil tries to bring my way. Nothing will separate me from him. Doesn't matter. Come hell or high water, I will stand on my rock, which is Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, the lover of my soul, and I will never let go, because he never lets go of me. So, bless you.
Tough time, we're in a tough place. Father, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name. And Lord, with heavy hearts, but Lord, we know that you have the answer, that you have the strength for my sister. And Lord, we know that even now there's been much prayer has gone forth and that you are working in this situation. And we are concerned for these children, that they should have a mommy and a daddy. So Lord, we just commit this family into your hands this morning, Lord. And you see and you feel the heaviness of our hearts, and especially of my sister. And Lord, you are there to lift her up, and that our prayers and our friendship would help her through this trial. And so, Father God, we just thank and praise you that you have good things in store for my sister and for her children and for her husband. Lord, if his heart is open to you, you will lead and guide him in the way that he should go. And so, Lord, we just come praising you this morning. And we ask you to fill our mouths with positive words, positive prayers, believing, Lord, that as we speak and call upon you, that we will see these things come to pass. So, Lord, be my sister's strength today and tomorrow and the next day, Lord. Guide and direct her pathway, Lord, each and every day. Lord, you have been with her and she has been strong, but you are going to do a mighty work in and through her. And Lord, these children are going to be blessed and used of you in years ahead. And so, Lord, we come rejoicing this morning at what you're about to do. And we lift our voices to you, singing hallelujah and glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And each one who stands here this morning, I pray, Lord, that we will be faithful to lift our sister up to you each and every day. And when she needs a friend, we will be there to be her friend, to help her, to encourage her and those children. So Lord, we have a job ahead of us, and we just ask that you guide each one of us, and especially guide my sister here. Lord, strengthen her and fill her heart, Lord, with joy, knowing that there's going to be much good come out of all of this. And we lift up her husband, Lord. It's not your will that a husband and wife be separated. So God, we ask you to do a work in his heart also, that there would be a reunion. Whatever your will is, Lord, good will come out of all of this. And so we go our way today praising you. Praising you, Lord, for what you have in store. And Lord, we believe in our hearts and we speak with our tongues the good things that you have in store for them. For you are a good God. And Lord, you have good to give to every one of your children. And so, Lord, we just lift sister up to you today. We lift her husband up and her children. And we thank you, Lord, that you're about your business in the lives of this family. And we praise you and thank you this morning, Lord, for what's about to happen. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Somebody lost a set of keys out in the grass. Yours? Okay. Cool. Okay. Not everything is always cake and roses, is it? No. What is it? The book called Bad Things, When Bad Things Happen to Good People? But you know what? We can believe that God is into this. God is into this. I don't know where all our Kleenexes are. We usually have a couple of boxes of Kleenexes here. Okay. So in order to emphasize that God is in this, we're going to do some preaching, and we're going to get Jerry Hunt up here to do it. Yeah. You want to stand down here or stand up there?
At ground level.
Typical Jerry Hunt. What do you need?
Don't agree, please. Help me. Anyway, I was listening very attentively, and many of us have went through difficulties and said, you know, where are you, God, in all this? I heard that the other day when we were out for coffee. People making bad choices and then saying, why did you let that happen? And I gave an example. I just got a speeding ticket. God had nothing to do with it, absolutely nothing to do with it. The one thing he had to do with it is I learned, and the second thing is I had enough money to pay it. So we're not going to be blaming God, but we know that God is faithful no matter what. He's faithful in spite of us. And this one I learned when I was in hospital, having a lot of fun. And it came from Hebrews. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version this morning, Amplified Hebrew and Amplified Greek. And this is from Hebrews 13, it's part of verse 5. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. And then he closes with one more, assuredly not. So if we didn't catch it the first time, the second time, the third time, he closes with that, assuredly not. So that's what we've got to hang on to. That's what we can pray that faith will be with Kim when she goes through this. And this is rugged stuff. We've got lots of daughters, and they monkey fiddled around, and there's a cost to pay for that. And didn't choose wisely. Maybe the men thought they didn't choose wisely either. I'm not so sure. But I know they didn't choose because I'm their dad. So that is for Kim and that's for all of us. And I thought when I came in this morning, this is like old home week. It is indeed. Because I see lots of old timers that we were blessed with working with at Loaves and Fishes. And I see lots of young timers that I know from downtown, and I see their smiling faces too, and that's a real blessing, you know. It is indeed. In fact, just about everybody who spoke this morning or sang or worshiped this morning was either an old timer or sneaking up there. So it was a real joy to see that, and I thank you for the blessing and the privilege of being here this morning. It really and truly is a privilege to stand before you and speak with what God has given me today to say. And I did seek him in prayer and ask. And oh, before I forget, because old people forget easy, thank you for those who prayed for our son-in-law, Marvin. He was in emergency a week ago Wednesday, and they said, well, we'll see if he makes it till Thursday. Well, he made it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He came back to Stettler. But the beautiful part is that in that time, he was able to stay the six-week program, and he's still eligible to participate in a lung transplant when he's well and healthy. So we just thank you so much for that. Thank you. Thank you. And he also came to know the Lord. You know, if you're suffering enough and the darkness is approaching, we will reach out, won't we, when things get really tough. Sometimes, my daughter, to accepted Jesus maybe 15 years ago and then set him up on the mantle. And the only time, he didn't come down. She phoned and said, Dad, pray, you and Mom, pray for me. I said, well, you can pray yourself. I said, get him down off the mantelpiece. He wants to be with you all the time. This isn't just like weekend shopping at Walmart. This is full time, all time, all the time. Now, adventure. Well, I've come to believe over the years that I know in my heart that living for Christ is the greatest adventure we'll ever have. This is the greatest adventure right here on earth. This is the greatest one, but for every believer on earth, it's adventure. Even if there are some things that don't go our way, we always have a faithful God with us through that. So this is what we'll experience here on earth, a real adventure. And I always was an adventurous young donkey, and as I get older and come closer to Christ, I realize what an adventure I have with him. This isn't humdrum. This isn't boring. There's something with him all the time. And you know what? That's true for all of us who believe. And you know, the greatest adventure will be when we stand before him. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And prayer, no, not hopefully. If you know him, he'll say it. He'll say it, well done. Now, if you were like you might smell a little like smoke, but I'm getting there anyway. He said so. Come on, Jerry. He said, you're out of the gutter now, and you're up, and you're with me. So I'm just excited about that. You know, and everything is an adventure. Even just praying for people is an adventure. It's an adventure. Just stop and think about it. 2 weeks ago, I was out on a retreat before speaking at Father's Day out at Great Bend and seeking God and praying about what I should say. Oh, and ladies, I spoke on submission, and I never got stoned. Yeah. And all I did say and comment on that was this, that if you have any argument about any of the things that I'm reading, talk to the author, because he wrote it, I didn't. So, anyway, so it's not humdrum. Going there and speaking on that was an adventure. And anyway, I'm out at Deer Valley Meadows, and Gladys is in Stettler ministering to our daughter and family, and they decided they were coming out for a wiener roast, and I was to get things ready. So usually I don't hustle and bustle much, but I was near starvation because I'd been batching for 2 days out there, canned sardines and crackers. And so I got the fire ready and got a place to have it and gathered up wood and got it going, and out they came. And so right away we got wieners roasting and everything, and then we went to the table. Steady. We went to the table and started to eat. 6 years old, great-grandson. Stopped everything, and he said this. At our home, before we eat, he said, we bow our heads, we hold hands, and we pray. And he said, Grandpa, you forgot. So that was a learning experience for me. And what can you say? I just said, I'm sorry I forgot. Thank you. Thank you, Jarius. So, and that was an adventure, I got told. And that's okay. The other one was, we were in Edmonton visiting Marvin as he was recovering there a week ago. We went up Monday or Sunday, and we visited the hospital as a family. There were quite a few family members there. So we gathered in prayer before we took him down and tucked him in and said night, night. And we had a prayer for Marvin, and that he would really feel God's presence, know his peace, and receive everything God had for him. Because a little anxious, and I could understand why. Wednesday, they're going to write you off, and Thursday, you're resting comfortably. But we prayed with them. There's a lady sitting over there a ways back in one of these meeting rooms, resting rooms, whatever you want to call them, and reading her newspaper. But when we were done praying, she came over and said, wow, she said, that was very spiritual. That was of God. And I said, yeah, that's who we were praying to, and that's who we believe in. She said, would you come and pray for my mother? She's just around the corner in this room. Pray for me. So, you know, another adventure because we prayed. Another adventure. So you're going to look at everything you do in Christ's name as an adventure with him, providing it is with him. Because I want to tell you something, I had lots of adventures, and I called them adventures, but they weren't with Christ. And I'm not going to tell you what they were, but they weren't good. But these adventures are good. These are positive because Christ is in them. Now, another thing I learned over the years, besides the adventures, is lots of times as Christians, we forget who we are in Christ. And I think Brian Harder read this one time. I found this chart in the NIV Bible, our true identity in Christ. Because lots of times we forget who we are, what we have in Christ. Now, these are a few I'm going to read to you. I put some there if you'd like to grab onto them and read your own to find out if you need some reassurance or if you don't know, they're there and help yourself if you wish. And I'm going to go through these relatively quickly. And our true identity in Christ, Romans 3:24, we are justified, declared not guilty of sin. Not guilty. He said it's finished, it's finished, it's finished. And Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation awaits us. No condemnation. That's a wonderful thing. You know, we are usually busy beating ourselves up. Christ isn't condemning us. God the Father isn't condemning us. Romans 8:2, we are set free from the law of sin and death. Because we're never going to make it by the law anyway. And we were dead in our sins until we met Christ, until we asked him into our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:2, we are sanctified and made acceptable in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, we are righteous and holy in Christ. Now sometimes, for all of us, I'm sure that's hard to believe. But we are. We are. And these are the truths we got to hang on to if we're going to walk in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, we will be made alive in the resurrection. So, this old body that's getting tired and wearing out, I'm not young and vigorous like Glenn, it's going to be brand new. Brand new. Isn't that right, Carl? We're going to be all new. Woohoo! That's good. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creation. I had a check list after that, and I thought, no, same old mug, same old pot belly, same old sagging jowls, but that's not what he meant. He meant in here, a new creation. A different heart. Took the heart of stone and said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. Amen to that. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we receive God's righteousness through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:28, we are one in Christ with all other believers. So whether you think that way or not every day, and I'm sure we always don't, we are one. We are one. We are one. And at the foot of the cross, the playing field is level. The playing field is level. Ephesians. Now the book of Ephesians is a great one. A great one. We did a study on that, and fantastic. Deep, deep teaching and stuff we should know all the time. 1:3, we are blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ. 1:4, we are holy, blameless, and covered with God's love. The only blaming ever happens is usually me blaming myself and forgetting that I'm free from sin, that I've been saved. Ephesians 1:5-6, we are adopted as God's children. We are actually God's children. And you remember in Mark what he did? He picked the children up and he blessed them. We are God's children. Ephesians 1:7. Our sins are taken away and we are forgiven. Forgiven, forgotten, and remembered no more. I'm the one that is the fool and remembers them because God says, what sin? Ephesians 1:10-11. We are brought under Christ's headship. We have a new boss. We have a new boss. Once we accept Christ, we have a new leader. We have a new king. A new king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not that one that I served before. The one that run the pitchfork in my rump and said, go for it, baby. So, Ephesians 1:13, we are marked as belonging to God by the Holy Spirit. Indwelling Holy Spirit. Christ inside of us.
We've been raised up to sit with Christ in glory. We're not in the gutter anymore. No, we're not. We're not in the gutter. And I like this one. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's work of art. And in the Greek, that meant that all who believe here are masterpieces. Masterpiece. Not just work of art. You're a masterpiece. Pretty cool, eh? The Sistine Chapel, masterpiece. Everyone sitting here who knows Jesus Christ is a masterpiece. And Ephesians 2:13, we have brought near to God. You who were once far away are now near. Now we're near. He never was far away. We were always looking, but he was handy. He was handy, just we weren't handy. Ephesians 3:6, we share in the promise in Christ. Every promise, and I'm going to read some of them today, every promise that he made is true. And we share in those. Another thing, too, it happened here this morning. Ephesians 3:12, we can come with freedom and confidence into God's presence. We live in a country where we are free. And we can count on Christ to come before him in confidence that he hears us. Psalm 116 said, over this congregation today, he inclined his ear. And he heard that. He heard that. No matter how feeble a voice is, he hears it. No matter how faint, he hears it all. And he listens and he cares. And again, Ephesians 5:29 to 30, we are members of Christ's body, the church. So we're members and we're part. And each part has a place to play. We have something to do. There's nobody in this congregation that I've met or come to know that doesn't have gifts. And so with those gifts, we can contribute to this body of Christ. And I tell you, if you haven't yet, do. And there's a lot of you who are, and bless you for it, because you're contributing to the growth in this body of Christ. Colossians 2:10, we have been given fullness in Christ. Fullness in Christ, fullness of joy, abundant life. But you're going to have to read these yourselves and ask God to speak to you. Colossians 2:11, we are set free from our sinful nature. Man, that was a tough one for me, because I thought some of that stuff was pretty good until I found out what was really true and what was really good. And all that other stuff was, well, horses make it. And the 2 Timothy 2:10, we have eternal glory. Yeah, from glory to glory, Eglatus is changing us. But we're going to have eternal glory when we get before him. So, if you want these to go through them for yourself, there's some right up at the front there sitting on top of the tambourine. Now, I just have a few things that occurred to me. Wasn't that a wonderful spontaneous worship time and prayer time this morning? It was indeed. You know, that's the Holy Spirit moving in people, allowing it to flow. Allowing the Holy Spirit, not in it, he, to flow. And it does. So, now what? We're all this in Christ. And so what are we going to do about it? Now what are we going to do about it? And how are we going to do it? Well, we were challenged by our pastor at 2 or 3 weeks ago, because we're disciples, we're to disciple the disciples. And so there's a way, and God has given us the strength to do that. With what? Well, with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm using the Amplified, so John 14, these were ones that I was led to and are familiar with, and I'm going to read them, and you can decide for yourself which ones you would like to do. John 14, and we're at verse 16. And this is Jesus talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you how long? Forever. 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 And again, because we're slow to catch on lots of times, aren't we? Or is it just me? Yeah, I figured that. But remember, I'm young yet. So, verse 26. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, that's Jesus, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. And everything that Jesus has told us is here. So we got to crack the book, don't we? We're not going to remember what he told us if we won't find out what it was he told us. And once again, we're talking Holy Spirit here on the way. And this also came from the Acts that Stan preached on not so long ago. So this is sort of a review. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. And from one end of Red Deer to the other, both directions. So, that's what we're called to do, and we've got the power. We've got, God said, I'm going to give it to you. Jesus said, you got it, you got it, you got it. He gave it at Pentecost. And they were filled in Pentecost, or in Acts chapter 2, and they were filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit. Diffused everywhere throughout their souls. So that is pretty special to me. But I hear people say this, well, I can't go and I you know, I'm kind of afraid that I'm going to be rejected. Well, you just heard about the power. And in 2 Timothy, that power includes something that you can rely on. Second letter of Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, or craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. So believe it or not, we have well-balanced minds. So there you go. And you know, if you think, well, a lot of you guys got that, you can go ahead and do that. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul asked. Because we're praying for each other. We're praying today for each other. And Paul asked this of the Ephesians. Now, to that end, keep alert and watch, strong in purpose, perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, and also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly, the mystery of the good news of the gospel, for which I'm ambassador in a coupling chain in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously as I ought to. So, we really don't have any excuse, do we? Not a one of us. And God will lead you to that place. Luke 11:13 says, how much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask. And I started doing that. And things changed. More and more opportunities came, and more boldness and more courage to speak to people I'd never met before. Never met before. And he'll do that for you because everything he says in there is true. So we are the disciples. Now you have the way. Now you have the method. And now you have the courage and the boldness. So, Doug, where are you? First two words. Letters in God's name are go. First three letters in Satan's name are sap. So you have the opportunity today to be people who go or people who sap. And God bless you each and every one as you go.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry can always be relied upon to give us an encouraging word. Amen? Amen. This brings us to the close of our service, an hour and 20 minutes. Thanks, Steve and Mindy, for coming. Steve, for I know we put you on the spot there. I know you're not used to that.
Yes, you are. Let me leave you with a parting blessing, and then we'll what we'll do. Is anybody here? I know some people just come to church because they need something, and other people come to church because they have something to give. And so if you came to church today because you had something to give, because God was calling you to that, I want you to come up front here in a moment. Because those who have the need will come to you for prayer. So I'm thinking 5 or 6 people, maybe 12, maybe 32, I don't know, whatever God's calling. Come up when we start to sing the last song. And so in the meantime, let me leave you with the blessing that Paul taught us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may the love of God, our wonderful Father, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours and mine today, tomorrow, and forever. If you can believe that, my friends, you can receive it. God will get the glory, and you'll get the blessing. And that's exactly how God intended it to be. We have one short announcement. Ricky is going to talk about the Jesus walk. That's coming up pretty quick. Gertie, where are you? The Jesus walk is coming up pretty quick. And an announcement about it so that we all know about it. And then those who will pray will come forward. And those who need to be prayed for may also come forward. And the music team will come.
Good morning, everybody. It is just a pleasure for us to talk a little bit about the walk for Jesus. Last February, 3 years ago, I was standing in the kitchen and I had this CD on of Chuck Gerard. And he was singing about walking in one accord. And he was just absolutely so anointed. I stood still and I thought, this man is saying something. But I got scared because I knew that God was saying something. And we had to have a walk for Jesus. Well, that he chose me for that is actually so amazing, because I was never much in tune with that thing. So I ran to Birdie. And I said, guess what I'm hearing here, guess what God is saying. He said, really, should we do this? He said, yeah. So what do we do? Well, reach out. So we reached out to Kevin and Jackie. What's the last name, Luke? Olsen. They are the pastors of the door. We are acquainted with him because he has done several times with us an outreach on the grounds of where we live, and this looked together, and it was just absolutely wonderful. So we contacted him, and he was right on top of that, and so gradually this thing grew. We have reached out to pastors in town. We have done what we could. We have asked the pastors, if you do not want to take part yourself, or you do not feel that, please tell your people. We are under the impression that there is not much appetite for that. But we believe God. We have started this work. This is the third year that we do this, and things are beginning to move. And I would encourage everybody to come the 6th of July, which will be next Saturday, City Hall, 10:30. And you say something.
Well, Ricky said she didn't know why, but I know why God gave her that vision, because Ricky's been so faithful and encouraging me, and I'm just, yeah, I'm encouraged by her inspiration and by her faithfulness and by her stick-with-itness, and I know that you all will be if you come and walk with us, March for Jesus, and you'll all be blessed, so come on out. Lots of music and worship and praise on the grounds of City Hall Park, and all because Ricky said yes to Jesus and continues to do that. So I'm And we have Jerry and Gladys have been faithfully supporting that walk, and so hot dogs are there. So if you can't walk, you can have a hot dog and listen to worship. And thanks to Jerry and Gladys for the hot dogs and being so faithful and supporting us. So thanks, and we'll see you Saturday.
Okay, thank you, ladies. March for Jesus. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? And why should we linger and heed not his mercy, mercy for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. The wonderful love he has promised. He's promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me.
Amen.
Come home. Calling, O sinner, come home.
Thank you, Lord.
Have a good day, everybody. Have a good weekend. May you all be blessed the way you want to be blessed. Goodbye.
Are we washed?